The state of a border state. Murrieta marks the spot. It's the Friday Mixer. This week, House Speaker John Boehner said it will be difficult to monetarily address the flow of undocumented kids across the U.S.-Mexico border until the 2008 law that allowed their travels to the aforementioned place is changed, saying the anti-trafficking regs that were put in place during the waning year of the Bush administration are being abused. Boehner says he doesn't foresee much progress on the immigration issue until at least that specific law is addressed. All the while, protests continue, including this morning in the town of Murrieta in Riverside County, where busloads of migrant kids without parents were turned away a few weeks ago. Joe Matthews writes the weekly Connecting California column. He's the California editor of Zocalo Public Square, and he's in the studio with me right now. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Steve.
John Hunneman is a columnist for the Riverside Press Enterprise and a resident of Murrieta, where he's joining us by phone. Welcome, John.
Good evening.
I want to get to Murrieta in just a minute, which seems to be the flashpoint, at least in California, of the immigration debate these days. But first, let's talk a little bit about this national dialogue going on and Speaker Boehner's admission that little will get done because of what he calls abuse of this law that I mentioned, allowing these kids to come across the border and be tended to, not turned away, but tended to when they make it to the United States. Is that a convenient excuse for him, or did House Republicans have any sincere plans in the first place to fix this issue somehow? I'll start with you, Joe.
I think it's a convenient excuse, and it's part of a conflation of this refugee crisis and these terrible problems in Central America, which seem to be driving it, particularly in, you know, three countries, Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador, with our kind of exist in its own plane of reality immigration debate. I spent a lot of time in the last 2 weeks with a labor historian at Arizona State University named Matt Garcia. And this really is profoundly a refugee situation. It follows the law of refugees. And one of the problems we're having in dealing with it is that we keep throwing it into this really stuck partisan immigration debate instead of thinking about, you know, what can we do in these particular countries? What can we, you know, do here to deal with a lot of people who have real issues, in many cases our children? But instead, you know, it's and I think it's part of a larger problem in the United States of, you know, our sort of partisan wars sort of gobbling up more and more territory and making it harder for us to respond to problems or even think about them coherently.
You use the word refugee.
Yeah.
It certainly doesn't help, John, that we're, you know, the vernacular that we're using is sort of, you know, at the center of the dialogue or lack thereof, I should say, in this country, because we really don't even know how to talk to one another anymore, right? I'm stuck on the word refugee.
Yeah, it seems like we can't even agree on that. So how are we going to agree to deal with the situation, the current situation, and looking long term?
I want to stick with you for a second, John, because Murrieta is a city of slightly more than 100,000 people, and you wrote this week that it's being unfairly maligned in the national media with the thought that residents protesting these kids on the buses were these rabid, torch-wielding crowds wanting blood. Are we not seeing an accurate portrayal in the reporting that's going on?
Well, I don't know that I wrote about rabid torture.
No, those were my words.
But, Murrieta has a border patrol station in their town. It has for 8 years. The border patrol has been a presence in this area for 90 years. And there are issues that come and go with border patrol and immigration over time. And there's been kind of a love-hate relationship with the Border Patrol and what goes on in this community since the Border Patrol was formed in 1924. Now, as far as what happened in Murrieta a couple of weeks ago, it started out small. There were more media members there. There were more television trucks there than there were protesters when I went by an hour before the buses arrived. And about the time the buses arrived, there weren't more, from our reporter who was at the scene at the time, there weren't more than 200 protesters on both sides of the issue who were standing there confronting the police and blocking the buses. Now, we get 200 people at a Little League game in Murrieta. There's a 500,000 people within a half an hour's drive of the community. So to brand Murrieta as a city of hate, as I keep hearing, or to say that they're all rabid one way or the other on the issue is patently unfair. It has nothing to do with the community other than the fact that a Border Patrol station is here. If a Border Patrol station was in Santa Monica, 200 people would show up to protest.
But something happened to turn those buses away.
Well, the Murrieta police were prepared to had the buses go through, and they called for backup from the Riverside County Sheriff's Department and from the California Highway Patrol to assist them. However, before that backup arrived, the Border Patrol made the decision to turn the buses around. I wrote that it didn't make any sense to throw gasoline on this fire. The better thing to do would be, in my opinion anyway, was to do exactly what they did. I mean, what were Marietta police supposed to do? Start tear gassing the protesters? That doesn't accomplish anything. They were waiting for backup, which has been reported very few places, and had plans to let the buses pass and go into the station, and that just didn't happen.
But John, hasn't there been a real history in Southwest Riverside County of, you know, very strong official statement on this? I mean, you know, it wasn't just a protest. There was a, you know, really big town hall in the last couple of weeks, very critical, with a lot of hot rhetoric. You know, back in 2010, when there was all the discussion of the Arizona law, you know, the city council in Marietta was sort of strongly pro-Arizona on the state of Arizona's side, passed legislation sort of mandating you verify. I mean, it seems like the politics of that place, you know, maybe the total outrageous block the buses of women and children is not of a piece of Marietta. But certainly, you know, Marietta has elected a lot of people who have taken a really hard line on this issue, right?
I don't know that to be entirely true. I mean, I think what Mayor Long was trying to do was calm the fears of when he spoke at the initial press conference before the buses arrived, was to give accurate information, because there was plenty of inaccurate information out there about what was to take place. And what Mayor Long, who's an Orange County firefighter, I mean, they do these things part-time, what he was urging people to do was to write their federal representatives to deal with this. Now, the town hall that took place after the event, there were 1,000 people there. Once again, you get 500,000 people within a 30-minute drive of there. And it's a very passionate issue, and to give a forum, the town hall after the meeting was set up with the Border Patrol, with city officials to explain what happened. Now, people, you know, nobody's going to be convinced one way or the other at a town hall meeting like that. And it looks very bad. I thought that was the low point of it. But again, it's a passionate issue with people on both sides of it. But the protest and turning the buses around, I think, was completely and continues to be completely blown out of proportion.
One thing that sort of struck me about Marietta, which I've spent some time in before and have been learning a lot about this week for a Zocco column next week, is the extent to which the city... This might be a larger problem for a city that is really seems to have a strategy of reaching to foreigners, to overseas, to build. I mean, it's not just a place that's grown really fast in the 20 plus years it's been a city with people coming from all over the country and other parts of the world. But when I look at recent development in Marietta, particularly after the housing crisis and the Great Recession, it seems like development there has been really hard to finance in banks. And I noticed a number of major developments, including one across the street from City Hall, is financed by EB-5, the federal
right.
program where you know, you give $500,000 and you get a green card. And that's how Marietta has been, you know, doing its development. And I wonder if reputational damage here sort of crosses with what you've been doing economically.
Yeah, I don't know. The city's been very aggressive about attracting investment, both here and internationally. Marietta is in large a commuter community. Most people drive to San Diego, Orange County, or L.A. to work every day. And the objective of that is to build more businesses, attract more businesses to Marietta, develop more investment, so that those people don't have to stay on the freeway every day. It's been that way since I moved here in 1988. It's better now. There are more jobs. But the city's been pretty... like I said, aggressive about doing what they can to attract investment and to build businesses, and they've looked all over the world. What's happened here recently in the last, you know, 2 weeks or so certainly can't help that effort.
John, what's it been like in Marietta as far as, you know, the local fire and police and, you know, all the authorities there who are trying to wrangle these? I mean, you say 200 people, I mean, Little League game, but I mean, still, you have to do something to control these crowds.
Well, certainly, and the Marietta Police was out there, and will continue to be out there, and there is a cost associated with that. Now, whether the mayor is going to send a bill to the White House, I'm not sure about that.
Did he say he was going to do that? Really?
He at one point joked about it. Now, you know, Marietta is it's a good sized city, but it's got budget problems like everybody else. But
I'm not sure that bill is going to get paid, man.
it's going to have to get in line. You know what? Overall, in Marietta, I think the sense that I get is one more of embarrassment about what has happened and the black eye on the city. But the people in Murrieta, the ones that I talk to, anyhow, this isn't something that they talk about night and day. It's not the big issue at the local restaurant, other than the fact how it's made the city look. The Border Patrol and immigration issues have been part of what has happened, been a part of the community for 90-plus years. And not that it's not a big deal and not that there's not a lot of focus on it right now, but the day-to-day life of Muriettans is not being ruled one way or the other by this issue.
The issue that will go on, and we will continue to cover right here at KCRW. Thanks to Joe Matthews with Zocalo Public Square and John Hunneman from the Riverside Press Enterprise for joining us for this week's Mixer. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.